Well, I'm calling this teaching today, "The Holy Spirit is to work hunger." The Holy Spirit is to work hunger. And I want to base this from something familiar we know from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, which says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So there are several things just to consider here. We're told that we are blessed if we hunger and thirst. So, of course, we all understand what hungering and thirsting is about, because our bodies tell us when we're hungry or we are thirsty and we need to quench our thirst. But we can also have this hunger but do little about it. And I'm reminded of those who look at a menu or the photographs of the food that the restaurant is going to serve. It's of no use to you unless you buy or you get that food and you eat it. And that is what a menu is for, is to show you what you can eat. And it's the same with thirst. It's no good seeing that bottle of drink or that cup of tea or that coffee unless you drink of it. And that is what it's challenging here to us. It's saying, if you want to be righteous and you want a right standing with God, because that's what it's referring to, he says, then you have to ask for this hunger. You have to ask for this thirsting in order for righteousness, that you may be filled. You see, it's not until we dig a little deeper into these verses do we realize what they're actually saying. And this is why we're calling our teaching today that we are to thirst and we are to hunger. You see, if you ask many Christians what it means to hunger and to thirst, I think you're going to be absolutely surprised at the statements and replies. And most of it, I can guarantee you, will be with regard to being busy. Busy at church, busy doing works, busy witnessing, and so on. And all of that we know has a place, but sadly, it's often a shallow consecration and commitment, and very little inward work being done in the heart through the Holy Spirit, which of course is to produce the fruit of the Spirit. They know little of that work. They only really have a relationship with the Lord through busyness, through being active. And of course, churches today are always stressing and emphasizing being busy, being active, witnessing for Jesus, going out and making converts. And all of that is in the Word of God. But they fail to understand that you also go deeper with God. And this is why they have little understanding of the Beatitudes that Jesus gave in his teaching. And each of these Beatitudes are all about going deeper, a relationship with God. In actual fact, the Beatitudes, if you take them and study them, is all about how the bride makes herself ready for the coming of the Lord. How that it's putting the kingdom of God first, putting Jesus first, putting commitment, relationship, spending time with him, putting that first, then all the works come as a result. And it is supernatural. It is God doing it through you. And what you see so much today is a substitute. It looks outwardly as though it is Christian and it's being done for the Lord, but when you observe and look at it deeper, you realize its surface. It's a shallow consecration. They have a shallow understanding and relationship with God. And this is the problem. And that is why the bride doesn't make herself ready. But God has equipped us through the baptism of the Spirit, empowering us now. And this is why we teach the deeper life. So that this is getting you ready. It is bringing you into a closer relationship with God. So that you come forth as sons and daughters of God. You see, the enemy is so subtle, isn't he? If the enemy can keep you busy, keep you out of God's presence and not spending time with him, being still before him, he's achieved his goal. And that is, you don't go up in the rapture. You won't be making yourself ready as the bride, as the word of God says. And this is where he's going to rob you of your rewards in heaven. If he cannot get your salvation, because if you are eternally secure, and the only way you know that is by enduring, by staying with it, by keep coming, listening to the word of God. Okay, if he can't get at that, he's going to get you with your relationship with God. You see, he doesn't give up. The analogy of King David, the little shepherd boy, killing Goliath. But what did he do? He stunned him first. And he realized he had to remove his head with Goliath's sword to finish him off. The enemy doesn't give up without a fight. And it's the same with us. He's going to fight. If he cannot get at your eternal salvation, it's secure, then he's going to get at you with your relationship with God, because that is where he can rob you of blessings. Rob you of rewards, rob you of your relationship with God, experiencing Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's very subtle, and he can read you better than you know yourself. And that's why I'm so against AI and these phones now that they are producing, that are watching, observing, looking at you, looking what you're following, watching your eyes, facial recognition. It's knowing more about you than you know yourself. And that is the powers of darkness. That's what demons do. The moment you are born, demons are there observing and watching you. Seeing your strong points, your weak points, your vulnerability, and so on. That is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You see, we must allow the Holy Spirit to teach us all of these divine principles. And this is why we're spending time with this, as it says in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Filled with Christ in you, the hope of glory. Filled with him taking over in our lives. This is why we die daily as we take our cross up each day and follow the Lord. We die daily that the life of Christ may be manifested in our flesh. Here it is, so that you will be filled. This is Christ's teachings to the church, those early Christians that were following him. These are the principles here in the Beatitude that we preach from, is what I preach from. And the Holy Spirit has come, producing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is in the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? It is Christ who's come to us in the Spirit. He said, I will send my Spirit, the Comforter, to you, to come to reproduce the fruit of the Spirit, so that you may be able to love. You may be able to have patience, long-suffering, mercy, grace, and all that the fruit of the Spirit is, because it's in Jesus. It's not in you. It's not in me. And we're trying to do it, and you can't. It's as we die daily. It's as we yield our life over each day by the cross that we take up. We are allowing the life, the risen life of Christ, the one who has overcome all things at Calvary. You are allowing the overcomer to overcome through you. You didn't overcome, he overcame. All he wants is your will, your faith, your believing, not resisting him, yielding over when he works, when he says this area's got to go, got to die, whatever it would be, that's what he's come to do. He then manifests himself through you. That is what the world will be influenced by. The world isn't interested in you or me, but they are interested in Jesus. And there is a remnant who is waiting to see him, to hear him, to hear that calling on their life. That is why I am so dependent on the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. That is what he gives a preacher. Because that unction, that anointing is Christ calling his people through that vessel. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. And some see this and some just don't get it. And you know why they don't get it? Because the cross is the problem. No other way. We take it up each day. We are spiritual beings filled with the Spirit of God now. And it's him calling by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Of course we are to show love, grace and mercy. We are to forgive our enemy. We are to go that extra mile, but it is always by the power of the Spirit working within me, you see. And you see, without this hunger that Jesus speaks about here in verse 6, the baptism of the Holy Spirit which we have received isn't going to do its work. Because the baptism is to empower in which to bring those desired spiritual growth and development within us. And that is why we preach the deeper life. For those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, in which to bring forth the life of Christ in you. That is what the deeper life is about. You are baptized in the Holy Spirit. He has come back to you. It is Christ in you. He has sent the Comforter to baptize us, to recreate his life in and through each of us. This is why the apostle labored with those early Christians. And it says he labored with them until Christ was formed in them. What was he doing? He was encouraging them that they are to take their cross up daily, yield to the Spirit, so that the life of Christ manifests in and through us. He labored there. He stayed with them. He went through all the persecutions that he did so that Christ could be formed in them, that the world will see not us, but Christ in us. The resurrected Lord. We've got it all wrong today. It's all what we are doing, what we are achieving, my ministry, my evangelism, my converts, my faith, my. What is that indicating? Nothing more than spiritual pride. We decrease that he increases. That is what our salvation and calling is about. But many just don't see that. Why don't they see it? Because my life is too important. And this is why he says we die daily. We're like sheep that go to the slaughter, the same as our Lord. It is the life of Christ manifesting in and through us. And that's why he calls us in weakness. Through our weakness, he makes us strong. Why do I stress all of this? Because it's about his glory. This is where he is glorified, in and through us. And the baptism of the Spirit is the doorway into that deeper life. It's not just operating the gifts of the Spirit, because that's where most got it wrong. They failed to see the baptism of the Spirit is to work Jesus Christ in me. That is its ultimate goal. So that when we look in a mirror, he sees the reflection of himself, not us. And that's why it says we're being changed from glory into glory. It's a work of the Spirit. It's miraculous. It cannot be achieved, naturally speaking. What does it say? Let's look at some scriptures. As I said, that the baptism of the Spirit is to come to empower us to work the life of Christ in us. What does it say in Psalm 1 and verse 2? Psalm 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What is that speaking about there? It's speaking about hungering for righteousness. Now you can't do that. You can't let the word of God be your meditation on and off through the day. But as you yield, he will work that within you. He will give you this hunger for his word, to meditate in it, to memorize it, to learn it. You've tried doing it, and that's why you're fed up. You're bored. The word of God isn't doing its work as it should be, because you're not yielding over to the Spirit who witnesses to his word, to work that within you, to work that hunger. You see, when we all get saved, we're all keen, we're all hungry. What we're going to do for the Lord is nobody's business. But it starts to wear off, doesn't it? And do you know why? Because You now need that hunger that a Holy Spirit is the only one can give you. And after a while, when it's you doing it in the flesh, he then says, you'll now be blessed if you ask for hunger and for thirst, for righteousness. He says, you will be filled. I am going to fill you. I will now do it through you. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? That's why after our honeymoon experience with the Lord, it's exactly the same with marriage. When you get over the honeymoon, all the love, all the nice feelings and the emotions and everything, then there's the living together. Overcoming each partner's good and weak points. But as you stay with it, you find that then that true love, that what love is really about, begins to develop and grow. Then you begin to understand what love is about. And it's exactly the same with our relationship with God. After the honeymoon experience is over, we then begin to realize it is a walk daily with the Lord. And the only way I can maintain this is if I hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because he says, I will be filled. Filled with what? Not my efforts. Filled with the Spirit of God, which is so, so vital. And then you continue to have that hunger for prayer, that hunger for the Word of God, meditating, learning upon it, because that's where we get our faith from, the Word of God. Because it says the hungry will be filled. So to those that hunger then and thirst, it's those who long for righteousness. Now what does Isaiah have to tell us about that? Turn if you will to Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 5. Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 5. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's why I dislike so much these charlatans that are making a lot of money out of the gospel. Look what it's saying here. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he is glorified you. Note how he says, come, be filled. And towards the end, he says, the nations will see you. What will they be seeing? Not you, but God in you. That is always the divine principle. This is how evangelism works. And this is why so little of it is effective today. It's only the thirsty that he invites to drink. If you're not thirsty, he's not inviting you. That calling is not there. You know if you've got a thirst because you keep coming, you keep listening, you love the Word of God. What does it say in John chapter 4, verse 14. John 4 and verse 14 that speaks of the woman at the well when Jesus asks for water from her. He says, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Notice what it says here. "But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up." Who is that fountain of water springing up? It is the Spirit, it's the Lord in you. Springing out like water. That is where evangelism lies. What is the nature of water? Water can get into crevices and areas that you can't get into, I can't get into, but it can get into. The smallest of places, water can get into. Why? Because it's the Lord doing it. That's why. And we're trying to do it in our feeble efforts, and that's why we fail. It's as you thirst. It's as you hunger. He says, "I will then fill you, and I will do it through you." And that's why you've got to be empty in order to be filled. And what makes us empty? The cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord. The cross is to empty you. And it comes by not resisting, but by yielding over to the Spirit, and then he fills you with himself. You see, that filling isn't to become more busy and religious, but it's those seeking righteousness. Righteousness for its own sake will be the reward. In other words, you are seeking the righteous one who has made me righteous, declared me right. He's the one that I seek. You won't satisfy hunger but by just looking at pictures of food or even listening to a sermon. You're only filled when you ask. When you ask for your thirst to be quenched. And this is why I keep saying so often, the word that we receive, we take it before the Lord, we pray about it. That's why I say, keep saying, have a notepad and jot down something that has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit. Because very often what you write down, "I need to talk to my Heavenly Father about this." And write it down, because the devil will come, he'll take it away. And then you've never talked with that with your Heavenly Father. That's how you grow, you see. And it's only the anointed word which can fill. There's nothing else. Because he fills us with his righteousness that enables us to continue to stand in his presence. And let's finish off with Revelation 21, verse 6. Here it is, the last book in the Bible. And what does it have to say about thirsting? Revelation 21 and verse 6. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" And there you go. The overcomers are the ones who thirst for righteousness. They are hungry. Their appetite needs to be filled. They're like hungry children coming from school. First thing they do is raid the fridge? Or is there something to eat? That's what God wants of us. And he says, it's freely there. The fountain of water of life, freely to him who thirsts. Who is that fountain? It is Jesus. He's the Word. They're the ones that they thirst for. And that's why the bride is making herself ready. Can you not see, brothers and sisters, what God is giving us in which to equip ourselves as the bride who's making herself ready? This is spurring us on. This is provoking us if need be. This is showing us where we grow. And it's right there. In the Beatitudes, that's why I love the Beatitudes, because the Beatitudes, when you read them, are all the principles based on the deeper life. It's all there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve, and he loves us. And before we close, I would like to share with you a testimony of God's love and protection and how we are to walk each day looking to the Lord, ready for anything that can happen in the day. We just do not know what lies around a corner. And yesterday, I did not know what was lying around this corner, because I came back from friends who had invited me for supper, and I was dropped off at the end of the road, and I said, I'll walk and I'd like the exercise. And as I approached my house and started to walk down the driveway, the security lights came on, and I suddenly saw from my bedroom two windows fully open, and I started to approach it slowly, and the next thing I knew was a young man jumped out, and he had like a club in his hand or steel bar, and then another young man jumped out of the other window, and they both wore balaclavas. Their face were covered, but just their eyes. And I immediately pointed my finger at them and I said, the blood of Jesus over you. And he started to come towards me with the bar in his hand, and I said again, the blood of Jesus over you. And then he began to yelp. He went stiff, his hand went stiff, and the other one who came out, he then ran off out of the driveway. He then ran off himself. Well, I was surprised. I went into my house and I obviously had just caught them. They had just got in. It was God's timing was perfect. And I want to praise God for Psalm 91 that I confess every day over the house. And I want to thank the Lord because he says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death. I saw the power in the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus stop his hand. He went stiff like a statue, and then he made a yelp. That's obviously the demons in him. And then they fled. There were obviously young guys because they were very fit the way they jumped out of that window. But I thank the Lord. He's preserved. He preserved my life. Anything could have happened there. But God is faithful. And this is what I'm trying to show you, that they are coming against not you. They are coming against the life of Christ in you and me. Praise God for his protection and his mercy. That is a sign he loves us, And he's not just doing that for me, he's doing it also for you as well. Praise God.